asteroid.
What was that last noise you played? That noise.
Hey, we're not the show.
What was that, though?
Too early.
Harlan Williams. Got it.
Doing the chainsaw. I can't believe I made it on time, guys.
Good job.
I was just
nice
up front. Getting the scoop.
The scoop from security?
Like, if our security here was the Beeb security, I would have, like, front page info right now. I'm going to call it security gate. Tell those yentas to keep it down.
We should put a word into the Biebs. Hire these guys.
Yeah, so that like they're Michigoss. Michigoss? Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Michigoss would be like front page. Listen to this. Gonna get right into this, and then we'll get to the after disaster, all right? But Regigate. Oh, we'll call it Regigate.
Oh, Regigate. Are they're forming a coup?
Fuck. Yeah, we should probably close the door. Sorry, guys. I know that there's no AC in there, but we can't hear. Have Reggie find out.
Or as I like to call it, a coop.
All right, so Reggie. African American, right? Let's get that out in the open. For those of you who may not know, Reggie's our security guard. He's questionable. He's a questionable security guard. Questionable human being, if you ask me.
Well, he seems like a nice man.
No, questionable human being.
Okay.
Anthony, I'm not going to give his last name, but he's our most recent add-on to the security here. Both Mike Catherwood and Drew, Dr. Drew, have asked me to have this man removed. They do not like him at all. Aaron Dirty, security laundry.
Jesus.
On the show. And so I went to the guy that used to be in charge of security around here, and I sent the email, and I hate that. I don't like to get people, you know, lose. Nobody should lose their job, their livelihood. And Anthony, he seems like a nice man. I just think he's a little simple. Mm-hmm. But he sucks at his job. I'll say, Anthony, our guests get here in between 9 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Sometimes as late as, you know, 10 o'clock. Make sure you're able to let them in the locked door.
And he's gone.
He's always gone during that time. This is the guy that I walked into the bathroom and he's hiding behind the door inside the bathroom. That guy.
Okay, now I'm with you. He's questionable.
He's African-American as well, okay? So we got Reggie, African-American. We got Anthony, African-American.
So if you're keeping track at home, that's African-Americans are batting zero right now.
No. I'm just saying that those two guys, African-American. Asefa?
I'm talking about here.
Asefa, the guy that's here right now? I may or may not have gotten that's my source.
He might be African-African.
He's African-African.
he's Ethiopian, isn't he?
He's Ethiopian-African, yes. Yes, he does believe that gays should be stoned to death, but that's his cultural thing.
Oh, my God.
That's a cultural
really?
Thing.
Does he really?
Yeah.
You're giving him a pass because it's a cultural thing?
We had a discussion about it. I think I might have got him to turn the corner a little bit. Yeah, we had a discussion about choice of sexuality one night, and I think I got him to see.
Do you
like,
give people a pass for stuff like that because it's cultural?
No.
Do you give Middle Eastern men a pass because they keep their women down?
No. It depends on, like, you know, if they. I understand being raised from the time you were a kid and having that ingrained in your head. You know,
but it's also 2014.
But I saw that there's hope with our friend Asef out there. I realized I should not be using anyone's name.
Did he say that?
No, he saw two guys making out across the street, and he was very upset, and he came to talk to me while I was smoking a cigarette out there, and he was saying, in my country, jail, beatings.
And guess what?
Beatings,
we're not in your fucking your shithole country.
And I said, you know,
Jesus
let them be.
Christ.
Asef, you know, let them make out a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. I'm like, well, they don't have a choice. Oh, they have a choice. I'm like, all right now, can you like guys? And his eyes lit up like it was the first time he had ever thought about that. I'm like, oh, so you don't have a choice. So why do they have a choice?
You should start kissing him.
And I grabbed his cock. Ethiopian's not as big as the other black guys. I can tell you that much.
That's weird that he's like that. I had no idea.
I love Asef. He's a great guy. Maybe he's, you know, some old world ways. But so I'm out there talking to Asefa just now, who I know it's hard to tell, but in this scenario, in this story that I'm telling right now,
he's a good one.
He's the good guy. He's our protagonist, okay? He tells me this. Here comes Regigate. Here it comes.
Good night, Rune.
He hands me a piece of paper, and it's like it's an incident report, which most jobs say, you know, I don't know if anyone listening or if you guys have ever had to fill out an incident report.
Nope.
They're awful. I used to work at a home, a number of homes for mentally challenged adults or adults.
He called it a snake tattoo, so I had to hit him.
applied a behavioral.
He threw poop at me.
Applied behavioral analysis, independent living, and you know if there were any physical altercations or if something as simple as like the guy refused to take his meds.
I love that senior citizens facilities are called independent living.
Well, no, I was for the mentally challenged, another mentally challenged group, and severely autistic.
But it's not independent living.
Well, they're living on their own.
The opposite of independent living.
They hire people like me to go by and see them in their apartments, make sure that they're not like you know painting the walls with their poop. Mm. You know what I mean? So, but if like one of them comes at me with, you know, the paint,
yeah,
I got to fill out an incident report.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a pain in the ass. Anyway, somebody filled one out. Who'd they fill it out about? Anthony. I can't believe I'm using real names here.
Now, why does the other guy have his report?
Because he found it. Hold on. Let me get to the story. So,
I'm sure this is riveting to the majority
of our
listeners.
Is it adult? No, this is security game.
Everybody
this is
right now
stuff.
Is relating because they have somebody at their work they hate.
Exactly.
They want to fill out an incident report. You know what? I'm just going to print up fake incident reports about people. Leave them around.
So I'm reading this report. I'm kind of a little – I love Acepha, but I'm like, why is he – I only have 3 minutes out here. Why is he giving me this? So I'm scanning through and I'm reading. And it says – it's actually kind of comical. I'll try and get you a copy. It just goes on and on about how Anthony was inside watching TV.
Trying to get me a copy?
5 a.m. If we had a newspaper report, if we had a newspaper that we published, this would be...
Oh, no, we should do a newsletter.
Yeah.
After Disaster Newsletter.
And this would be the first and only one ever, and then it'll just be this paper.
You
know what? We'll scan it and put it on the site.
Okay.
And how many laws does that break?
That seems pretty legit.
As long as we make sure to include the Social Security numbers, we're fine.
It's all very official. There's like phone numbers and times and dates, but it said Anthony at 5 a.m., after he's been repeatedly asked to be out front when this female employee of this company, which I'm not saying the name, shows up at 5 a.m. She does not feel safe, and I don't blame her because we got some questionable shit.
This whole neighborhood's questionable.
It's pretty questionable.
Pretty much every neighborhood everywhere is questionable.
Anthony be on his feet and ready to escort her from her car into the building at 5 a.m. Like 3 weekends in a row or something, she found him inside watching TV. When she finally got inside, fearful for her life.
Maybe his shows were on.
Anthony's watching TV. What's he watching at 5 a.m.? What
stories.
Kind of infomercial?
So meet the press.
The best part of the I'm recalling it all. The best part was when she asked, where's Reggie, to Anthony. Anthony's response was, he just had triplets. What does that mean?
Oh, no. What if Reggie has a secret family?
That's what it says.
Wait, why was she asking where Reggie is?
Because she was pissed and she wanted to report him. Because I don't know if you guys realize this, but Reggie's the big boss around here of the security guards.
Oh, wait. This report is about Reggie?
No, it's about Anthony.
But why is she asking where Reggie is?
Because she wants to tell on him.
She comes in. She sees Anthony watching TV for like a third weekend in a row. She feels unsafe and she says, where is Reginald? Where is your superior?
Now I'm tracking with you.
And Anthony's excuse or... I think Anthony might believe it. He just says, he had triplets.
I feel bad for this guy because he's obviously really slow, especially the fact that he lost his embarrassing write-up.
No, listen. It gets worse. I'm sorry to boring those of you who are not familiar with incident reports and
we'll
security
shenanigans. We'll just cut this out and put it at the end of the show.
I'm just excited that we have a topic.
Because it just happened. It's fresh off the press. You guys are the first to hear about this.
This is a verbal newsletter you guys are getting. you'll get the written copy later.
And Acepha, language barrier, to say the least.
Yeah.
Hard to understand anything that man says.
Common sense barrier, too.
But he's great, though. I love him, despite the homophobia. He seems to be otherwise. He's got like a 16-year-old son.
Hope he's not gay.
Every time I talk to Acepha, he's the one that I'm like, hey, how's your brother? The car accident, lost his leg. I'm like, what? When did that happen? Oh, this last weekend. And I'm like, hey, don't you have a sister? How's she doing? She had baby with heart on outside of body.
Oh, my God.
No bones. Every time, you can't get into his personal life because it's always bad.
No bones.
I've asked him before, like, hey, how's it going? He's like, very bad.
That makes me look like cheery and jolly. I like it. I like that guy.
But he's a nice guy. He's always got a smile.
He likes high fives and hugs.
When he hears that I'm quitting smoking, he just can't wait to give me a kick down a cigarette. I feel like I'm making drug deals every time I go out there. Chewing on my Nicorette, he gives me the eyes like, hey, you want one? You want? So, as I'm reading this incident report, his eyes are wide. And he's looking at me like, you know, like if I were to give you something and it's like a statement from Drew saying that you're, I don't want to say pedophile, so I'm trying to think of something else.
I appreciate it. But too late. You already started it. So
convicted lovely. Drunk driver.
Okay.
All right. And I found it and I gave it to you. So he's giving me these eyes like, you believe this? And I'm like, what is it? So how'd you get a hold of this? He points to the date. It's from mid-May. All right, which is now 3 months. That's a timestamp of the show. 3 months ago.
I got to say, Reggie's dropping the ball on his impulsive firing then.
He starts saying racist.
In his defense, he had triplets.
Asefa keeps saying racist. He's racist. Racist. Because the black... I finally figured it out. And I'm pretty proud of myself because it took me about 30 seconds to decipher where he was going, what he's talking about. But, because Asefa's been written up a couple times. Yeah. I remember he came and he complained to me about it and he explained and he said it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
This guy, Anthony, got written up. Reggie hit it. Reggie didn't turn it into the appropriate channels. Asefa found it tonight. Tucked away in Reggie's shit.
Because he's anti-American?
Because Reggie and Anthony are African-Americans. They got that bond. And they're
both. He got the other guy fired, who also happened to be an African-American gentleman.
Yeah, but he was handsome, and the girls liked him, and Reggie was jealous.
It's true. I'm
talking about Michael, the guy with the dual cancer parents.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
That poor fucker. Every time I'm like, how you doing? I don't think mom's going to make it through the night. I'm like, fuck, man. I'm just trying to have a cigarette out here.
Well, enjoy your night posted out here.
We're going to go do a podcast. See you later.
So he found it, filed away, and he's very excited that he has this thing. And I don't know if he's going to take any action, but he knows.
Shake up.
This is like corporate, like, espionage. Right? Like, huge.
It is. This is great.
These guys actually had more meaning in the world, I think this would be big news.
This is like stuff that goes on with, like, CEOs, but this is happening at literally
the lowest level of the working
point
man's
of the corporate ladder.
I told you when I first met Reggie, he was reading a giant tome. A giant, giant book, and it was on merger takeover.
Yeah, I remember
that. Giant corporate takeovers.
That was great.
Like the top of the top.
Maybe this is his first move.
I'm like, Reggie, what are you reading there? He's like, I'm reading about, corporate takeovers. I'm like, why are you reading about that? I'm not going to be a security guard forever. Why would you start with something?
I feel bad that we're making fun of them.
I love Asefa. Just be nice. Be decent.
You know what the security thing is that's cracking me up about this?
Well, you're not laughing. You're making me feel like an asshole. Over it.
You know what? This is getting the least expensive people for your security is the same as my attitude about babysitting, where people are like, I'm not getting a babysitter. That's $10 an hour. You're like, to protect the most valuable.
Yeah, I don't know who you're hanging out with, but it's usually the opposite for me.
In my life, I've heard parents complain about how expensive their babysitters are, and I got, we just got the neighbor. She only wants $5 an hour, so it's cheaper. I'm like, if it's somebody who's responsible for protecting your baby's life.
Hottest, right?
Oh, you always go hottest.
Yeah.
Because they're the best babysitters.
Well, they can teach and instill hotness in your child.
Yeah, they can start, they can get that sexual ball rolling.
Wouldn't it be great if they were just like really upfront about it? They're like, yeah, I charge $70 an hour. They're like, what, $70 an hour? Well, I'm much hotter than the other babysitters.
Very hot.
And I always wear bikinis.
Okay, you're hired.
All truth be told, you don't want the hot babysitter because the hot babysitter used to invite me over when they were babysitting often, and we put that kid to bed early and we would bang.
Yep. I know that.
You ever been over there?
Yeah.
Over to your girlfriend, the babysitter's house, or wherever she's housing. It's awesome. Get the booze.
I know a lot of girls that were babysitters.
It's how the circle of babysitters continues, is then you make more babies with the babysitter.
I know a handful of girls that are very hot, and they were babysitters when they were like 15, 16, 17. And it was
baby
always
a babysitter.
Have the boyfriend over.
Picking it up.
Go out in the backyard, smoke some pot, come inside and watch TV till the parents got home.
Outside? No, you just do that right there. Mello's at the baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the After Disaster. I'm Anderson. That's Mike Carano, and there's Ty Ty. Ty Ty, I had a lot of guilt since the last show we did. I feel like I was mean to you. Jillian, actually.
We wrote you up.
What were you mean to me about?
Something about a television show. This is a few episodes ago, I guess. Oh, Family Feud. I guess I brought up the fact that I'd watched Family Feud, and you're like, yeah, I like that show. And I'm like, I don't watch it. And I started just immediately yelling at you. Yeah. Watch some more
good
Family
answer.
Feud. Watch some, good answer. Watch some more since the last time I saw you. And they really like their dick jokes with the new Steve Harvey.
So many.
If you go
on their YouTube channel, I swear to God, just go on their YouTube channel. All they do is upload the really inappropriate segments that are like 46 seconds long, and it's just Steve Harvey making inappropriate jokes and mugging
the
camera.
On the board.
When did they turn that corner from the Richard Dawson version where they had to like?
Well, they had
that
they
stuff.
Had Mr. Patterson.
They're only like one step away from just when the answer is dick. They just show a dick in the thing as it spins around.
They had Seinfeld's Elaine's boss from Seinfeld on there, Mr. Peterson.
For
a while. It's pretty tame with him. But as soon as Steve, I get the idea that Steve Harvey's like, "I'll do your damn show, but it better be edgy. A lot of dick talk."
Well, it's easy on the accents.
So that's how we talk. So the question was this. If a woman became a man, what would she have? Name the number one thing she'd have.
The idea of Steve Harvey sitting there with his agent. I'll do your damn show, but it better be edgier. A lot of dick talk.
Yeah, I'll do it. Then he flashes a smile. So it was like, what would be the hardest thing to get used to if you went from a girl to being a man? And like the third answer that no one got was the dangling dong. What the fuck? Family Feud. Richard Dawson would be a.
What's the hardest thing to get used to if you're going from a woman to a man? It would be like the rejection of your family. Don't you
think?
It's
a little too esoteric for Family Feud, Mike.
Yeah, I don't think that's what.
The crying every night.
I'd have to buy a whole new wardrobe.
That was one of it. That was like number five or something. Yeah. Is dangling the dangling dong.
You don't have to buy all new wardrobe.
Because the first time I brought this up, remember, it was like, what might a pilot hold on a long flight?
Yeah, the schlong.
I'm so confused about that.
Hey, I was confused, too. I didn't know. I thought you meant that's what showed up on the board. I didn't get
that. That is what showed up on the board.
Okay, now that seems even more far-fetched.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like somebody like said it. Like, that's what I mean. Weird if a family member like, we're going to go with the schlong, Harvey. No, but it was actually on the fucking board.
Oh, my God. I would love to see the people huddled up, you know, doing that whispering thing and then turning, okay, we got an answer. Yeah. Schlong.
Like to see the people from American Airlines watching the show going, they're onto us.
I think what it is just like penis.
Autopilot.
Like, they get penis 4 or 5 times.
Schlong.
And then the writers just come up with some funny slang. So that,
I get it.
Slang. Yeah, Jillian and I spent the day in bed again watching on Sunday, just watching indiscriminate television. And I was actually actively rooting for this all-female Indian family. They were all female and they were all mostly hot. And I was like, oh, I hope that, because they were doing a marathon. So I'm like, oh, I hope that family makes it to the next show. Because it made it much better if I could watch 30 minutes of the hot Indian chicks.
I made a horrible comment to a guy on the trail today, an agent.
The trail?
What
does that
manager.
Mean? What do you
I was hiking today, and I ran into a manager on the trail who I was talking to for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And he brought up.
That's such an L.A. story.
He
How'd
brought
you get your
up,
gig? I ran into this guy on the trail, on the hiking trail.
But
he goes,
the shirtless trail, Mike?
He
goes,
cut of my gym.
No, this was the shirt trail. But he brought up, he goes, my wife's dad is from India. And he's a genius, like he's like a scientist, but there's certain little things he can't do at all. And I said, well, most Indians have...
Oh, I'm so excited for what's next. I'm so excited that you're willfully
telling
this story.
I said it seriously. What's that? It's not a disease, but what is it when people don't sense, feel emotion?
Autism?
Yeah. I said most Indians are like autistic, and they're geniuses in one area, but they can't operate a remote control. They might be like a rocket scientist or a doctor.
From? Where do you see this?
What Indians have you met?
I think I just made it up on the trail.
I've never
conversation. I was uncomfortable. And he goes, is that true? And I went, probably not. But I think I know some people. I know an Indian doctor who's probably a great doctor, and he doesn't know how to operate an iPhone. And I was like.
It's Dr. Drew, isn't it?
He's so focused on his craft.
So your sample size of one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he Indian? That's not even Indian.
I threw
you guys probably born
tan.
Here.
Whole yeah. Country.
Can I mention who's here watching the program from Wisconsin? We have yet another listener.
I don't know. You're asking my permission.
Brett
I'm
Favre.
Asking Tanya.
Tanya he liked Kruger. The schlong talk.
Tanya Kruger's here, a longtime listener of this program, longtime supporter. She sends Stanley Christmas biscuits many Christmases. So, of course, she's invited into the show. She's in town visiting from Wisconsin, here for about a week. I don't know if she'd like to come in maybe a little bit later, but you're more than welcome to. I have a feeling she's going to want it. She's
sure.
An artistic
she
lady.
Could, she could play the game that we'll be playing tonight.
All right.
Oh, we're playing a game for reals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah.
A little nervous about it. All right, here's an issue I got. I need to
tell me about the issue you got.
I need coffee. What are you guys going to be all right if I get coffee real quick?
Oh, no.
See, this is what sure. I'm dealing with.
Can you leave me and Mike with a topic before we like start talking about 80s?
Are we that dumb?
Hey, if bees die, are we all going to die, really? Do you think that's the case? If bees die?
I haven't really thought about it too much because I'm already worried about dying from Ebola virus.
Oh, we're definitely dying from Ebola.
We're definitely
dying. They brought a second person.
Some guy just walked into the hospital in New York and with symptoms. He might have it yesterday.
Imagine the guy strolling up to the front. Who do I talk to? I think I might have Ebola.
I might have the Ebola virus.
Yeah, you need to go wait in that line over there.
They said he walked in with nausea and a fever, and they immediately quarantined him.
Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea?
Yes, he had all those things.
So he needed Pepto-Bismol, and they sent him on his way.
What if that's the cure for Ebola and no one's figured
it
out?
No one had ever sent Pepto over to Africa.
Why don't you try this last-ditch effort? I really think
it tastes a little gross.
I think it's going to spread.
It's over 900 people dead in Africa from it.
Yeah, but I mean, now that it's over here.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to make it to episode 300.
Shit. Should we do two tonight?
We might die on episode 300.
What are we going to do if we all get Ebola? Are we still going to do a show?
I don't know why we would stop.
Yeah, good point. What are we going to do? Just sit at home? Bleeding from our fucking eyes? and whatever else.
It's gonna happen.
It's gonna spread, and I think.
Well, and now they're treating the two Americans that have it who are here with some like experimental drug that's never been tested on humans.
Huh.
So, who knows what's gonna happen to those people? They're gonna become like Ebola zombies or something.
What if we have like an Ebola plague?
That's what Ebola is.
No, but I mean, what if we have it in the United States? What happens?
Like,
how do we control it?
A lot of people die.
Okay, so if we can just keep it in Florida.
Yeah, we just target it to some very specific states.
We're taking these two guys to Florida to work on it there at a free clinic.
They took them to Atlanta, right?
Yes.
Where Dr. Drew's going.
Yes. Uh-oh. But there's also, the dude was in New York that walked in with possibly symptoms, but you know, who knows? Because I'm imagining I have symptoms. And
I know. You know, reporters are just staying by the ERs, and the second they hear someone say that I have flu-like symptoms, yeah, they're like, possible Ebola person.
Isn't it weird that that movie came out such a long time ago and gave everyone a good Ebola scare, and then it just disappeared, and now all of a sudden it's back? Like, what's next? Bird flu comes back?
Isn't it because it's a slow news week? Isn't that the main thing, guys? Ebola's not going to be a problem.
We're going to get it.
I think we're going
to get it.
We're going to get it.
Did you already get it?
It's got that 24-hour Ebola.
Did you know the bees, honeybees, when they have sex, when they get in the climax, their testicles explode and they die?
Why is everything that they do, they end up dying at the end of it?
Because that's what it is to be a bee.
I can tell you something. Being an insect would probably suck as far as your sex life goes, because none of them seem to turn out great.
Well, we had that in-depth discussion about praying mantises.
Yeah, somebody sent me a note on that and said they only kill each other in captivity. In the wild, the females don't kill the males, and I find that. I didn't look it up.
Well, they find human captivity so stressful.
There is some weird stuff like that. Like with primates and monkeys, they only masturbate when they're locked up.
I believe that. They're a little more complex organism than
I don't know if that's true, because I think they probably just go to a more private location.
And they've never been caught up.
Not those bonobos. Those things fuck like crazy.
No, I think that the only footage I've ever seen of a praying mantis eating a head is like in the wild. There weren't fences behind it or in front of it.
Do you think
Why were you watching footage of...
Because I watch nature shows.
And after your dong talk on Family Feud?
Here's the question I have. Do you think female animals have orgasms?
I don't know. We got two in there. Why don't we ask them?
No, animals. Animals.
We're animals, dude. What do you want from me?
Like, do you think there's a gorilla having sex and the female's, like, waiting to have an orgasm?
By the look of it, it's all rape.
It does seem like
it's reporting that pigs orgasm for 30 minutes.
What?
I don't know.
And it's maple syrup.
Who's Leslie?
I don't know who Leslie is. I said Lindsay.
Oh, Lindsay's in there. I can't even see Lindsay in there.
Lindsay's in there?
I must have known because I said two.
Oh, Paul, Lindsay's in there.
While we're talking about insects.
And beetles. Hey.
That's why I said that. Crickets. What's the deal?
But they're a crazy sport. Yeah. Those Indians, they love their cricket.
They are running amok right now.
They are.
I haven't heard this many crickets in my life, like in the summertime.
Head zucks.
It's crazy.
Okay, I kind of burn the punchline here, if you can call it a punchline, but the end-all, be-all of the story by saying this. A couple nights ago, three, four nights ago, I wrote my little phone under the AD section, crickets. Why do they get off the hook so easily? Something along those lines. Why do crickets get off the hook so easy?
Not in my mind.
They do.
No, I kill them.
I guess they don't get off the hook.
I kill him.
All right, in the sense of life or death. But
they sure don't get off his shoes easy.
I swear to God, I've had a bottle of a can of Raid in my trunk for the past like 6 months for something else. And when I get out of my car at night, there's crickets.
Wait, do you huff
in
it?
My parking lot?
What else
and
do you
I
have
fucking,
Raid for?
I hit
not
them
to
with
kill
Raid,
insects.
And I walk the perimeter of the fence with Raid, and I squirt it over the fence because I can hear him over there.
Mike's just looking for a silent summer.
Boss. You ever get a cricket inside?
Okay, so listen.
We had a cricket behind the couch at my dad's once, and it drove.
They're good luck. Or good ruck.
That is not true.
Yeah, they are.
They're not good luck.
So
the crickets have such a weird smell when you get like around a bunch of them, because I used to buy them to feed my lizards.
Maybe it's what they eat.
Yeah, they're quite odiferous.
Do they make that noise when they're in the cage?
Don't use words like odiferous around me, please.
Odiferous?
Or that one. I don't like either.
All right, I'll give it a schlong talk.
What does a cricket smell like?
Dangling dongs.
They're odiferous. Didn't you hear?
I don't even know what that means, but I just nodded my head like, oh, yes, I agree.
It just means smelly.
So They're in my backyard. They're in my little baby pool sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's an in-ground pool, before you judge. Not above.
I wasn't judging.
Well, I think the listeners might have at that very moment. A couple probably just pictured like a above-ground baby pool.
Tanya used to raise crickets and confirms that they smell musty.
All right, cricket. Let's get...
If that's the case, I'm raising crickets too.
Tanya, you want to come in here and be harassed
by us? They're wild. Wild crickets.
Let's get on in here. So they're like hopping around, and I see them in my backyard. And I thought, if that's a cockroach, like I'm panicking right now. I'm freaking out. And they're very similar to the cockroach, but that's just a cricket. Like I hear that all the time. Like, oh, that's just a cricket. Not a big deal.
I was going to say it's because they don't, like, scurry away from you like a cockroach.
They move a lot like a cockroach.
But they jump like crazy.
They jump like crazy.
Very frightening.
And they move like cockroaches where they go, like, 3 inches, stop, 4 inches, they zigzag. Tyler, you know what I'm saying?
Do you think it's because we have, like, Jiminy Cricket and, like, we have, like, fond, like, Lucky Cricket
And they make
stories.
That cute noise.
Did Jiminy Cricket ever make that goddamn repulsive clicky noise? Ever? Ever?
You might have to hold that in your lap.
Yeah, when he sang that song about when you wish upon a star. This is not a terrible noise. This is
no,
helps
it's
you
not
fall.
A terrible that. Because that's
if
the
cockroaches
sound, no,
made that sound,
no.
do they get away with?
You don't
more?
Love that noise. It's terrible. It's terrible.
So last night I'm sitting on
I
my couch.
I think I can make up my own decision, and I like it.
I like it too. I'm with you, Tita.
You
it's
only
a great
like
sound.
It because it's a sound effect, and it's reminiscent no. of being outside on a creek or something. It's not a good
it's
noise.
It's the summertime sound, right?
Do yes.
Do you hear that sound any other time?
Like not it. In Wisconsin,
California, you do. Welcome to the program, Tanya from Wisconsin.
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
I've almost rhymed.
More on crickets in a second. It's just making me realize. Can you turn around and ask Leslie, who I call Leslie Lindsay, if when her podcast is going to air? Because I'd like to plug her podcast.
They keep recording episodes and deleting it and not posting
it. Oh, really? Have you done that? Lindsay and Rune have a podcast that they're putting together, and I've been helping record it a little bit. And you know, I've heard it, and it's actually...
By September.
What?
So everyone, set your
it's
calendars.
It's February right now. That's far off.
Just why don't you just upload it?
That's work.
That's what I did yeah. for the after disaster. You guys didn't want that the second episode we did recorded.
It's going to be called the Pretty Oddcast, and they talk about the very first one. They actually entrenched themselves in like lifestyles. Like the very first one is they actually went LARPing. Lindsay found a place online that found someone who's putting together LARPing live action role playing. And they went and they spend the entire day with these people, and then they come back and report on it.
That sounds way too much work.
That's a lot of work.
But she actually likes it because Lindsay's actually like, interested in alternative lifestyles and stuff. Rune just follows Lindsay because he likes Lindsay.
Makes sense.
Someone say alternative lifestyles?
Rune's pretty strong on the mic, though. Stronger than you think. Not bad. Yeah.
Don't make me look like the bad guy stronger than you think.
I'm just saying it's stronger than most anyone would think. Would you imagine, Tanya, you're new to the program.
Anderson, yeah. Tanya's smarter than you think.
New to the room, I should say. You're old to the program. You've heard the program.
Yes, I have.
Yes. Would you think that Rune, would you take Rune to be a strong on the mic guy?
Not really.
Yeah, see? Just going with the room.
Is Rune still in there?
Yeah, he's crying up. In the corner.
After hearing that Rune and Lindsay were fucking last week on this here program,
I can say
anything I want. All right, Lindsay, so by September, and then the second one that they did was Comic-Con, and they're going to do Star Wars Day, which is at Dodger Stadium, I guess.
They should go to the Star Wars convention.
I don't know. She's never seen a Star Wars show, a movie. So.
Neither has... Well, I have someone who hasn't seen one either.
Nor has my wife.
Where do you get one of these?
My wife. All right.
My wife has never seen any of the Star Wars.
Tara, Lindsay, and your wife are going to see Star Wars together.
My wife thinks Spock is Darth Vader. It's the same person.
Mm.
Real quick. We're going to finish up with the crickets, and then we're going to get to
sure, she's
Tanya.
Happy you made her look like such a genius.
Who's this?
My wife thinks Spock is Darth Vader.
She takes
my
pride
girlfriend thinks rocks are soup.
That's very different. Very different. So, just last night, I'm trying to drink myself to sleep, because I have a hard time sleeping, and I'm actually drinking myself to sleep.
Didn't work.
I'm watching the extras on my new favorite movie, Murder Party. God, I love Murder Party.
Murder Party is
so good.
Never heard of it.
So fantastic. 2007. I flick Fessin next week on the film hall.
And the extras are?
I don't know why your response to I've never heard of it is 2007. It's not
in 2007. Oh, now I've heard of it. Hold on. I just set my brain
I got access that year in my brain.
Yeah, go back to 2007. Remember.
I've heard of it.
Murder Party. No, it's a very, very good independent, hilarious movie. But it's pretty much just an attack on the art scene in New York. And it's Blue
is it,
Ruin is one
on
of the
Netflix
best movies.
By chance?
No, you got to send away for it. God, it's fun. It's very
funny.
And it's got some horror in it as well, but it's all funny horror. It's about this nerdy guy who lives by himself with a cat, and he finds an invitation on the street Halloween night, and it says, murder party, you're invited, and it has the address, and he goes. He puts together a little sort of Lancelot costume made out of a cardboard box. He's a very nerdy guy. He makes some pumpkin bread, and he shows up, and it's a bunch of artists, like six or seven artists dressed up like, one's dressed up like Pris from I'm doing it again. I did this on the Film Vault as well. What's the name of that movie?
I don't know. Who's Pris?
Blade Runner.
Okay.
Daryl Hannah's character in Blade Runner. One's dressed up like a baseball fury.
Oh, that's Warriors. Good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Warriors.
And Tyler, have you seen Blue Ruin yet?
No, see, because you do the thing where you have to send away for the films, yeah. Which is like, when I hear people that still send away for Netflix, it sounds like someone, I still got dial-up.
Well, I have the same.
I have
the
same you don't.
Two, I have the same two films on DVD that I sent away for probably 6 months ago, still sitting on the floor. I haven't watched
so
it.
So much work to open the door and push play?
It's,
all right.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's it very, and their whole plan is to murder
him. Oh.
Because they're artists, man. It's for the scene. But it's really funny. It's all very tongue-in-cheek, very funny. So I'm sitting on my couch, and I see a black thing, a cockroach, on my ceiling. I had to move. I was
you had to move your
out,
home, right?
How do I capture this cockroach? That's... And do I do it before or after I get on like West Side Rentals and find a new place to live? Because it's game over at that point. Have you ever lived in a house with cockroaches?
Nope.
Can't do it.
Yeah, my parents had it, and they bought new mulch for around the house, and it brought in like a bunch of in the mulch was like weird like Ecuadorian.
Okay, everybody knows that I'm terrified of bugs and I don't like it, and I will move.
Yeah.
But
no,
there is nothing you can do about cockroaches. Restaurants can't do anything about it. They will reappear. However, if you really don't ever want to see them, you could bring a company out there to spray, and that will keep them out of your sight.
Well, out of my sight. They shouldn't be in my house.
They can squeeze
especially
through
on the ceiling.
Anything. No, that guy
ceiling.
Made it to the ceiling.
You just have to have a man-to-man conversation with them and ask them to respect your space and stay out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can have the underside of the house. I get the top.
Yep.
And never the two shall meet.
Lindsay. You know what a good way to kill that is? Get like one of those propane torches.
That's my
they
my
make
ceiling.
A really nice pop.
Just hit it for a moment.
It's my ceiling.
And when he falls off.
Before we go any further in this alternate universe
where
Anderson lives in a house with cockroaches.
How'd you get it out?
God, was I relieved to see it was just Jiminy Cricket. Thank God. Thank God. And it changed everything.
It was a cricket.
Now, if you find a cricket on your ceiling as opposed to a cockroach, you thought it was a cockroach
much
for five
better.
Minutes.
Much better.
Right? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But they got the same looking body.
I saw a cricket in the pizza place tonight.
And you didn't run out or report on the health board, right? It's cricket. It's weird. Crickets get off easy.
I used to raise 500 at a time.
Okay, so tell us more about that.
Well, I had a chameleon, and I didn't want to run to the pet store every week.
What?
Did you ever put the crickets in the cage and you couldn't tell which one was which?
No.
What?
He made himself Jesus. Into a cricket.
Because he's a chameleon.
Okay, one cricket, two crickets, a 6-inch cricket. Wait a minute.
Don't tell me you bred them or something.
Sort of.
What?
Well...
Super cricket?
I sent away for them. They're cheaper that way.
Uh-huh.
And they came in the mail, uh-huh. 500 at a time.
Right. Did you count them to make sure that you didn't get ripped
off?
Does
the package just deliver
they might have
itself.
Been stepped on. They might have had like mealy bugs in there, too.
I've raised those, too.
Yeah?
Can
you imagine
they don't
being a cricket
long.
Dealer where you just step on your product? You're like, let's add a bunch of cheap insects to this payload of 500 crickets to make it. All right, anyway.
I think they only live about a month.
The crickets?
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Wait, shouldn't you know how long they
live? Well, they live
less.
She's feeding them to chameleons. They're living less than a month.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, that chameleon better be eating 500 within a month or else you should know.
Oh, yeah. He would eat a lot.
He ate 500 crickets a month? Jesus.
No. Are you overfeeding your... You have a tendency.
I overfeed everything.
All right, I know Tanya through...
Except myself.
Do crickets have curly tails? I mean, chameleons have curly tails?
Yes, they do, and big eyeballs.
And I have big eyeballs that go different directions. Now, I know Tanya from correspondence through... emails.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Twitter. It's always been emails, right?
I don't think
How did
Twitter
it begin?
Much.
How did it begin? How did our love affair begin?
I listened to the Dr. Drew daytime show.
Oh, was it that long ago?
Originally, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And somehow through there.
But she sends me like updates when she gets a new dog and stuff. You've got two dogs, and she spoils her dogs.
Is it problematic that I'm upset she didn't listen to the show because of me?
Speaking of which, your Xbox friend that you brought in last week, I did not appreciate the fact that it turns out we didn't know till like he was already sitting in that seat, Tanya. Tyler invited him on because he played Xbox with him once. Yeah.
I heard that.
From
yeah.
San Francisco. Turns out the guy was just a Mike Caronophile.
For real?
Obsessed with Mike Arano.
Do
yeah.
you know?
He didn't give a fuck about Tyler Arano.
Do you know that I didn't put any of that, any together, that he was the picture guy and stuff, till I was driving home?
No, because you talked about it on the show.
I know, but I didn't. It didn't.
He blocked
click.
It out.
It didn't
I saw
sink
him kind of blocking
head.
It out because I saw him hear that this guy bought his prints like two or three times in real time. Mike kept being surprised by it. Oh, you're the guy? And then like 10 minutes later, it would come up. Oh, really? You bought some prints? I didn't know that.
Mike's like a piece of granite that after about five taps with a hammer, you could finally make a small dent into it.
That's what must
I'll
be.
Take that as a compliment.
That's what it must be like to be like a gay guy, I would think. Like you
oh,
meet
yeah,
a dude.
Oh, yeah, because I.
You bring like a third guy, like he's just like a friend of both of yours, right? And then you realize, no, he just wants to fuck my boyfriend. That's what it felt like.
Really?
Kinda. Like I thought he wanted to fuck both.
Well, that's.
He had no interest on you. In me. At all. Or Tyler.
I didn't sense that at all.
Well, I felt it a lot. Yeah. In fact, when I shook his hand, he didn't even look at me. And I can say all this.
You know, I got chastised.
He's never listening to this because you know what? This is not the Mike Arano show.
I had a guy who I see all the time and I shake his hand when I walk by and he stopped me and grabbed my hand. He went, look someone in the eye when you're shaking their hand.
Oh, that's
and he freaked me out. And now every time I see him, I'm like,
Mike is looking
and
at me right
now. I see him a lot. He owns the business next door to the improv and I'm always like, hey man, what's up?
That's one of the main differences between you and I is I would never ever look at that guy again. He'd yeah, fuck that guy forever.
Anderson would walk in with his head straight up to the ceiling yeah. with his arm outstretched, just walking towards
those
him.
Bono sunglasses.
We
on.
Have a lot of things in common.
Bono.
Bono, I believe it is.
I refuse to call him Bono.
Back to cricket breeding. Bono. How does this work now? So you get the crickets in the mail.
You got
to
play the right song.
You put them in a plastic bin.
Yeah.
You got to feed them. You got to water them.
What do you feed them? Little teeny geckos?
Dusty stuff you buy.
It's just the circle of life.
The circle of life.
And then a Komodo dragon eats the giant crickets.
And these crickets are so dumb, they can't have water because they'll drown.
Yeah.
So you have to feed them with an eyedropper?
You have to get this gel substance.
Uh-huh.
Well, how do they survive in the wild?
I have no idea.
Not well. That's why there's so
apparently.
Many.
Apparently.
They're always floating.
You know what? That
kind of
makes me
always.
Feel good that they're dying off.
Well, you know, turkeys are so dumb. Now, I've not ever done the research to figure out if this is true or not. But
they can't drive a stick.
Mike, get out.
I've heard that like severe rainstorms, they all stare up and drown. Like,
I've heard that too, but
them.
I don't know if that's true.
I like to think it is.
I think I hear that
delicious.
About every 30 episodes of this show.
Also, cows face windstorms and suffocate. Heard that too.
No.
Makes me feel better about eating them.
No, really?
Yep. Pigs don't.
I want to get a cow as a pet.
You want to?
Yeah.
They're pretty cute.
They're cute.
Yeah.
That is... I don't know how I feel about that.
All right, so you give them the substance. Now... Do you just have them five at the 500 at a time? Did you run out and have to order more? Did you try and make them bang so you could have free ones?
Actually, they got loose in the house and bred.
Oh. How do you
or
sleep
had
at
babies.
Night?
Sounds like a catastrophe.
How do you sleep at night when
I
you have
terrified
500?
Terrified my little niece. It didn't bother me at all.
No? But did you ever crush any?
I'm sure.
Yeah? You're sure? I would know if I crushed exoskeleton. That's the worst part. That's my biggest
you
fear.
You try to scoop them up because they cost money.
How much did 500 cost?
I don't remember. It was years ago.
Because like truthfully, we could probably scoop them out of the parking lot here and give you a box.
You can buy a batch of like 10,000 ladybugs on Amazon for like $20.
You can go down to Home Depot and get it a lot more expensive.
You know what?
Yeah, they sell them in jars.
I'm going to do that.
They bite, you know.
No, I'm just going to let them loose in someone's house.
Ladybugs.
Like, oh, this is so beautiful.
Ladybugs.
Ladybugs bite. Were we talking about this on this show?
I think so.
I got bit by a ladybug. Changes your whole outlook on everything.
I heard they bite.
You know why I think they seem harmless? Is because they look like little mini strawberries.
I don't think that's why.
You don't think so?
With you. No.
Not to me.
No, they don't look like strawberries, huh?
They kind of do.
they really don't. No. Maybe tomatoes. Yeah, maybe like really small tomatoes.
They have black dots on them.
No. Have you ever seen Bugs Life?
Yeah.
That also changed because Dennis Leary is the
bug talk, everybody.
Yeah, okay. All right, we're off to bug talk. I'm sorry.
Did we ever forget if that's entomology?
Not this discussion again. I have no
ask
idea.
Ask Lindsay. She might know. She's into animals and stuff. All right. So you're from
she
Wisconsin.
She thinks entomology, so.
Okay, so we get nowhere there. I don't want to talk about that. Can't talk about that.
Would you guys like to hear a poem that someone wrote about our show?
Let's learn about this game.
No, that's a different thing. Okay, this is a poem that someone sent us.
All right.
Let me read you the email.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Then what?
I hope you screen these things well, and if you're bringing it to the program, it's actually better than cricket talk.
I hope it's not a haiku.
I hope it's better than cricket talk.
Oh, yeah. Yo, that requires too much
this
thinking.
I'll try to be better than cricket talk. All right. This is from James.
You should probably play some music in the background before you read it.
Okay.
I don't know what you should play, though. All your bass will belong to us. Might be a good one.
Wait, I'm not reading the poem. He sent an audio file of the poem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just reading you the background in the email. Last year, I wrote a poem about the film vault after returning from Mozambique.
Oh, that guy was the best.
This year, I've been gravitating more and more towards the after disaster.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I love the program, and while I was at an international poetry festival this summer.
Oh, this guy's the worst.
In the country of Colombia, I sat down and wrote this poem in honor of the show's greatness. Thank you for all the laughs. Please enjoy. Sincerely, James.
Wait, you're in Colombia. Aren't you just looking for Coke the entire time or just finding Coke?
Maybe and doing something? Like
really, coming down.
Really hyper. I'm freaking out, man. Listen to the after disaster. Is this a poem?
Oh, I just read about this drug the other day in Colombia they have called scopolamine.
Oh, yeah.
You heard about that?
Of course.
That's fucked up.
No, I haven't heard about it.
This powdery substance that you can like just blow into someone's face. If they just get a whiff of it, you completely lose all free will. You still look totally coherent. You can like have conversations and like you're totally functioning society. Except if I'm like, hey, Mike, let's go to your ATM and you can give me all your money. That'd be great. You'll be, yeah, awesome. Let's go do it.
It's a myth. Murder Party.
I think that's terrible and I want to get some.
Murder Party, there's a large chunk of the movie that is devoted to truth serum. It's very funny. They all do truth serum. Tell the truth.
Okay, let's hear the poem.
Murder Party.
Hold on.
Tyler, get better at your job, please.
I sort of like this idea of people sending me audio files.
This guy's good. He reads it like he's committed. It's the same because he did one for the film vault.
Giving us a countdown.
The night regains its pre-human dignity. Tyler succumbs to an ADD itch to play cannonballs and crab migrations, evoke forest porn and turtle ecstasy. He conceals his life's work from Christ's judgment by airing it on an occult podcast. Mike Carano pursues positivity between oil can Henry visits, pinballing between the public restrooms of Disneyland, mired in the me's of the bourgeoisie. From an L.A. studio, he sends his weekly reports up to mid-heaven. Anderson recovers from vocal cord ache, his latest backlash at Rune interrupting the show. Reggie's antics pre-show, we're not that show, what is this show? At a phallic microphone, he seeks a tight hour of Stanley-like tranquility. They call this show the After Disaster. It's a shirtless high five at midnight. It's Costco stream of consciousness. It's the Del Taco parking lot conversation that's turned anti-Semitic. It's three cockle pickers discussing their craft. It's your creepy camp counselor's prequel. It's three dudes, a room, an ironclad contract that this will be the worst show they've ever done.
It's true. Who this one is. I don't like I don't appreciate the creepy counselor.
I don't like the fact that all we do is like
we just pick apart like any kind of.
The iambic pentameter was a little off for me.
The three cock picklers? What is a cock pickler?
That was interesting. I think that was probably good, right?
Yeah, it was good. I think the film vault one was a little bit better.
Wow.
Do you remember?
Because he was harder on Brian on that one. He wasn't hard enough on Brian. <This one. laughs> That was good. Takes a little balls to do poetry. Admit that you like poetry.
Fly to Colombia to go to a poetry festival.
I hope you were there for other reasons. Hope you're there for much better reasons than just a poetry.
I'm flying to New Zealand for the Orange Cone Festival.
Imagine what kind of person you have to pretend to be if you're going to the poetry just to have sex.
First of all, you have to probably learn how to speak Spanish.
And rhyme. In Spanish. Jesus Christ.
You don't have to rhyme, apparently.
Yeah.
I like it better when they rhyme, though.
That one didn't rhyme at all, did it?
I have a love-hate relationship with songs that don't rhyme at all, because sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's just stupid.
So, you ever write any poetry there, Tanya?
I used to, a little bit.
Fuck. You realize?
There was a cricket from Nantucket.
We say things like this, like I'm just talking tons of shit about poetry. We might have like a huge poetry enthusiast.
What kind of idiot raises crickets? Taunted you.
It was mostly for college classes.
Okay.
There was once 500 crickets from Nantucket. I bought them, and they came in a bucket.
Tyler's just proving that he's quick and witty.
Some of them good didn't want to fuck it.
So that's suck it.
So that's how I lost 20 buckets.
Nope. You got anything to plug there? You working on anything that you like to...
I just do some motivational speaking around town.
What is that like?
What's it like?
Yeah, well, what is it?
Like, I talk about my life and growing up with a disability and achieving your dreams, I guess, going to college, graduating, things like that.
For listeners who can't see this show and don't know, what is the disability exactly?
I have spina bifida and scoliosis.
I knew this about the scoliosis. I didn't know it was spina bifida.
Were you born with those things?
I was born with both. Usually you're just born with spina bifida.
You got the double.
Yeah. Does it run in your family?
No.
And that's enough for questions. Just kidding.
So you do motivational speaking. Now, how do you go about doing that? Do you have like a website?
I have a website. It's www.TanyaKruger.com.
Like Freddy Krueger, right?
Exactly.
Tanya Krueger. Yeah. Okay.
I have an uncle named Freddy Krueger.
It's probably another historical figure that would be more.
No. Freddy Krueger is that's the Krueger that everyone knows.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or the Battle at Krueger, where all those animals would eat shit.
Which is also my motivation for inspiration for Battle at Skunk Skull, which will be made one day. Yes. You know, like five people have read that fucking thing sitting there under lock and key?
God, is that guy?
No.
I know. Who read it the first day you said it to
him? Yeah, because you're a good friend. I know.
Do you want to know what I did with it?
Is it next to those Netflix
DVDs?
It has a screwdriver and it's out front of his house. It has a screwdriver deeply implanted in it.
Did I tell you this already? That I downloaded an app that will read it to me?
Oh, no.
Wow.
You know, Final Draft does that.
On the phone, I wanted to listen to it in the car.
Oh.
And I couldn't listen to... I couldn't
listen to Stephen Hawking read my
script? That's exactly what it's like. Yeah. And then...
Did you not think that that's what it was going to be?
And then Tara actually got pissed at me and went... Give me the script. I'll read it to you.
That's even worse. Because you have to do the voices in your head.
Well, because she also gives me books that I don't even crack. And she's like, you need to read that book. I'm like, I can't.
Tanya, would you read my script if I gave it to you?
I would.
Would you incorporate it into it?
Sound like a pity,
speech?
I would.
I really did.
I always need ideas.
Can you give us any advice?
Motivational speakers.
Don't drink. Mike knows that.
I don't.
I used to like to drink a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
When was this? Did you have like a hearty party
my
college years?
Mid-20s to early 30s.
What's the dumbest thing you ever did while hammered?
I went to Soap Opera Weekend.
What is that?
It used to be in MGM in Orlando, where you meet the ABC soap stars. It was a huge event. And first time I went to the hotel where the stars all were and stuff, and they're hanging out. And I'm drinking like crazy.
Because you're nervous.
Because I'm nervous.
Yeah.
And I met some of the stars, and then I went in the bathroom and puked on myself and passed out for a while. Yeah. And then somehow I managed to get back to my hotel. And then I called my friend who was in the room, and I said, I'm in the bushes somewhere. Come get me. So she comes down on my scooter. She has my scooter.
Uh-huh.
And she comes and finds me in the bushes. And I still hung over when I got home the next day.
Did any of the soap opera stars see you, do you think?
Oh, one of them and I took a picture together.
Oh, after the puke or before?
After.
No,
I
you
don't
have that
remember
picture?
It, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so odd. Could you see like remnants of your...
No.
No?
The stains
on the front?
The lady that cleans the bathrooms kept going, are you all right? Are you all right?
What were you drinking?
I think straight vodka and some beer.
Jesus Christ, you were a party. Why didn't you come out then? I'd love to go to a bar.
I used to be wild back then.
Wow.
Who do you do motivational speaking for? Like, what kind of audiences do you get?
Kids, a lot of schools.
Do you go to, like, high schools and where they have, like, the assemblies type thing?
Yeah, I did one at my high school.
Oh, that's cool.
Libraries.
I used to hate those fucking assemblies but if it was somebody cool, like who was talking about something real, we used to always get like cops who would come in and talk about like drugs. Don't do this. Yeah. They would make the smoking weed sign. Every time you're doing this, and then they make a gun to the head. You're doing this. You're
we had a cop come one
Not
time.
Not really, officer.
And he was like, okay, let's open it up to questions. First kid, you ever killed anybody?
Of course.
Long silence. The guy goes, that's it for questions. You're like all dismissed.
Yeah, see?
It was really terrible and sad.
That's a bad... They should get a cop
terrible
that's iced a couple of dudes to go in there and talk about it.
Some of
those are great. I cut a guy's head off.
Because I could always sneak out because they can't count all of you. They don't notice if one kid's missing. So I'd always go and smoke cigarettes underneath the thing. Yeah, what do you call those? The band. What do you call those? what do you call them?
Teachers.
I didn't smoke cigars. The
bleachers. The bleachers.
Yeah, yeah. On the other side of the gymnasium. Yeah. It was a good time.
You know what's funny about...
I remember a girl telling me that she would give me a head to show me how good she was.
What?
But her boyfriend, Mike...
Porno did you grow up in?
Yeah, I was like 13, 14. And then I looked at her teeth. I'm like, oh, no, you probably throw up a lot because your teeth are missing enamel.
What are you, a dentist?
No, but like she was
so
like,
judgmental
so, she was
for
so
a high school
fucked
student.
Up. She was, and then I asked her about her teeth. She's like, I eat a lot of lemons, but I think that was a problem.
When I was in high school, it was very difficult for people who smoked to hide their smoking. It was very difficult. There was no smoking on campus, right. And they would have to go elsewhere. Nowadays, I drive by high schools, and they have whole sections where there's like 80 kids out there smoking.
What
isn't that
you
crazy?
Talking about? It's the opposite. Are you,
no,
do you,
no.
Are you so fucked up you got an opposite in your head?
There's the school across
you're
the street.
You're not allowed to
the
smoke
school
anywhere
across
near
the street
school.
From my school. Granted, it's the
you
bad kids section. My high school, when yeah. I drive by there when I'm going to San Diego sometimes during the week.
You're
if
old
I go down
school.
For a dentist appointment, yeah. There's the bad kids school
the
across
continuation
the street.
School.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're all out there smoking. Mm-hmm. They would have never allowed that back in the day.
If I lived in San Diego, I'd never go to school.
No, it was the best.
So nice.
You're right.
Compared to Wisconsin?
My school yeah. was right on the bay, and it was right in Pacific Beach. And when it was a really beautiful sunny day out, we probably had 30, 40% absent because everyone just went to the beach. And they kind of just looked the other way. They kind of were just like,
what can we do, man? It's so beautiful outside. Can you blame them? Young, yeah. fun, and they yeah. want to hang out in the sun?
Yep.
Hippie teachers.
Yeah. Mike, when you drive by your school, do you like roll down the windows and play like a
I play Ozzy really loud.
Yeah.
He rents Trans Ams and goes and he sits in front of the
<That's> right. I had a good senior year of high school. I had terrible time at school my entire life, but my senior year was great.
Was there ever any thought of college for you?
No.
Never thought about it once.
No, I went to junior college for two semesters with the
so
intention
was.
Of
not
going
only
on.
Thought, but actual
yeah,
students.
And then I just kind of was like, mm-hmm. I'm too dumb for this.
Only one of the three of us has a college degree.
Speaking of
that's
dumb.
That's upsetting.
Speaking of denial. Denial terrifies me, right? And I think that I'm pretty good
with
denial.
Why all the crocodiles? Sorry.
Denial.
I quit.
Tyler, I said
denial. I quit.
My dad has some of the worst denial I've ever seen. Like, he just, like, our family was fucked up growing up psychologically. He just, you know, he thought it was a beautiful, perfect family.
Yeah.
He was the problem. Just denial scares the shit out of me.
My mom as well.
It occurred to me the other day, because denial sneaks up on you. You don't even realize that you could have it your whole, like, I have this irrational fear that maybe I'm severely mentally challenged, mm-hmm. and everyone's just nice to me. Like, it's all just a ruse.
I would have that, too, if people were nice.
It's a possibility. You know, maybe I'm so dumb, I just can't tell. But I do have, for sure, some denial, and it occurred to me I was half asleep the other day watching something, and, like, some scientist came on, he was, like, a mathematician and quantum physics, one of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always immediately annoyed. Mm-hmm. Not impressed, annoyed. Do the same thing with Drew sometimes.
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
And I'm happy that
you ever
they watch
exist. His show?
Who's that?
Physicist?
No, I don't, because I'd be rolling my eyes.
Kind of famous
and annoyed.
Right now.
I know the name. I've heard it recently.
It's fascinating. It's interesting. You always pick something up, but there's so much information jammed into like 25 minutes that it's overwhelming, and it starts to feel like you're in school. But you still
just
pick
you
up
explaining it to me kind of made me feel like
you
I'm
still pick up
bit.
Information that you didn't know before.
Tell me if you got any of this in you. I don't. I'd be surprised if you do. But it occurred to me that my denial it does run deep. I actually believe this. I don't anymore because I've exposed myself. But I caught myself doing this. In a half asleep fugue state. I really did until just like last week. Think that. And somewhere in my head, I would tell myself, you're smart enough to know everything that guy knows. You're just lazy.
Absolutely.
Do you have that?
Do
you have that?
I promise you I'm not saying this just for the sake of the show. I just had this conversation within the last 4 days about how
It doesn't impress me.
I always think I could do that.
Yeah.
I just don't want to.
It's like juggling. Yeah. Everything. The world can be boiled down to
and
juggling.
And I actually faced the... Okay, you know how it came up?
I don't think it's that they're people that smart. They're just devoted.
It came up in regards to financial stuff. I've always said, okay, all my friends are super rich. I'm not super rich.
I'm
That's
a friend,
just because
I
haven't really tried that hard.
Tyler's your friend.
I haven't really done this. I haven't done that. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is they're clearly smarter than I am when it comes to being financially.
Like, being financially, yep.
being financially.
Clearly,
like,
only in that case.
Making financial decisions.
Right, they're more prudent. And
more
you know
adept.
What? It's also has to do with priorities, for sure. Like, if
but
my priority
it's
was
more
to,
than that. It's more than that. It's the, I'm accepting the fact that people telling me when I was a child, you have all the potential in the world to do this, do whatever you want. That's not true.
But they tell it to everybody.
I agree, but I always believed it and used it as a, in my own head as an excuse for I could do that. I just don't really apply myself.
Right. So that's the danger of telling kids you can do anything, because then kids will be like, all right, I'm satisfied. I could do anything. I'm not going to do anything, but I could do anything.
I've accepted that I'm not financially smart.
Mm-hmm. We know that.
Yeah, but I've accepted it now.
Good.
I've always thought someday I'll pull out of this. Someday I'll start spending my money wisely. I'll start investing in things. I'll start actually charging for jobs.
Right.
And I don't know if that's ever going to happen because I don't think it's in me.
But that's very different from what I'm talking about. Do you believe that you could be like a master's in quantum physics?
I always did. I don't believe it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't believe I have the capability. I don't believe I have the interest level to sustain that thirst for knowledge.
Yeah,
for
that
kind
of stuff. Smart, or is that just focused?
I think there's
like,
yeah,
if
there's,
I was always
levels.
On
like, when those kids are 13 and graduate college, those kids are fucking smart. You can't be like, oh, they're
but
just...
But they have a chemistry. Just, because I was like 3 grades behind with math, and I did speed for like 2 months, and I did like this accelerated course where I could just go at my own rate, and I gave myself, and I taught it all to myself, 3 years worth of high school math. So I was in advanced math, like college prep, or actually advanced placement math by the time I was done, because I spent the summer just teaching myself math while on math. God, it was great.
That
was
a good summer.
Mathematics.
So if I was always on meth, I would be like a math genius.
Does that make me smart?
Does meth make you smart? No, it just makes you focused.
You know what the real issue is? I think we're lacking in passion for those topics because when I watch that Neil deGrasse Tyson show, I do think it's fascinating.
His name is too wordy.
And I learn a lot, but I don't have a passion to care about it as much as he does.
Why is Neil Tyson too much? Not enough for him. Why has he got to put the Degrassi in there?
I don't know. I don't get it either. Was that his mom's name?
Yeah. I think though the smartness was good.
Oh, the smarter.
The smartness though also it's not just rote knowledge and like memorizing facts
and being able
to do formulas. It's being able to extrapolate that information and to like go forward with that and come up with new ideas, or looking at things with a new way, like writing some paper, looking at some ancient civilization through some different lens that people haven't before. Then that's like a whole different level of, like, I got good grades in history. That doesn't mean I can tell you why
I'm really good at that.
Mesopotamian cultures, helped the rise of the Industrial Revolution, whatever.
If you're gonna break it down to the most basic, I'm dumb because of some of the decisions I make and have made and continue to make.
Right. Does that make you insane, though, that old saying? Like,
I don't know.
You keep
doing
the same thing over and over again?
I think it's a mental illness problem because there's time. You know, like today I drove around for probably a good 40 minutes not remembering what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was go to, you know, I wanted to go to Bed Bath & Beyond, and I wanted to go to Fry's. And I had things to pick up, and I got to Fry's. That was one on my list, and I got inside and forgot what I wanted and walked around until I remembered.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't important, right?
It was important to me.
What was it?
So bad you don't
it
have
a
thing in your pocket.
So I could attach my phone to the stereo in the car because the other one broke.
Oh, it's like it goes in the cassette player?
No, it actually just auxiliary.
Because you have a newer car. What was that, Ty?
I said it's too bad he doesn't have a thing in his pocket that he could jot down notes on.
Yeah, true.
That's what I mean, though. If I were smart, I don't think I'm dumb. But I don't think I don't think I'm efficient, and I don't think I apply what I need to learn. What I need to apply. I know what I need to do, and I don't do it. I know I should make a list of things to do every single day.
Obviously,
I should stick to a schedule. I should get up. I should.
You have
well,
too much,
yeah, but that,
have a little regimented.
That's not smart though. There's people that are brilliant that don't clean their clothes or like ever leave their house. I mean, you can't equate.
Of course, there's different levels to everything, but I would rather be, and I'm not this, but I'd rather be wise than smart. I'd rather make good long term decisions than just be smart.
I just blame it on my parents.
Yeah, that's right. I've been doing
that. My sisters do. You don't get anywhere when you do that.
No.
That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing you can do. Is
you get
blame.
Empathy from other people to blame it on their parents. That's
I know you're kidding, Tanya. I think,
yes. Mostly.
I don't think you're a motivational speaker if you're blaming anything on your parents. But that's the most powerless feeling.
Kids, I'm here today to tell you it's your parents' fault. Good night.
I got to say, there's something, I haven't really discovered it yet, but there is something liberating about accepting your limitations.
I don't have any.
Because, well, we don't have to be.
Ian Matheson.
I don't care. I'm not trying to act like I don't want to portray myself as, oh, I know about that, I know about this, when it's not something I care about.
Well, this show is very cathartic for that because we kind of.
But if there's something you're passionate about, and it's the same with all of
we
us,
put
I
on,
imagine.
We put on ignorance like it's a fine coat.
Yes. We bathe in it.
I think we look good in it.
I think so too.
Yeah.
My problem is I'm just not passionate about one thing.
That's true.
To be good enough at it.
I can relate to that too, like, because I
people that are good are like obsessed.
But I bet it's a great source of depression for me is the fact that I'm interested in a bunch of little things to a point where I start it and then never finish it and then I move on and I can't just I envy and I long to be one of those people that just has one passion. Like when you hear somebody just goes, I woke up when I was 10 and all I wanted to do was play the guitar every day, all day. It's all I still do. I'm 80 years old now. It's all I ever want to do. I wish I was that. I wish I had one thing.
They're so boring to talk to, though.
What's that?
They're so fucking boring to talk to.
Of course. But wouldn't your life be simplified?
No.
Wouldn't it be filled with joy?
I
want to
do everything. I want to know everyone. At one point, I wanted to have sex with every single person in the world. There was a Trent Reznor song.
Except that girl with the lemon teeth.
There was a Trent Reznor song, you know, about Nine Inch Nails, about how, you know, you want to see everyone, be everyone. Fuck, I want to, like, experience everything. If you're just trapped in it's one thing, I'm sure you're going to be great at it and respected in those small little circles, but that's it. You know what?
All I'm saying is I'm envious of those people. I wish I had one thing that I was so passionate
about. That's your problem with everything, is you're envious of everyone but yourself.
That's my problem.
I mean, grass is always greener.
No.
He's got it better than me.
I don't necessarily... I don't wish I was anybody else.
That's good.
I wish I woke up...
I don't wish I was
anyone
else. I just wish I was different.
Yeah.
No, but you know...
Different person entirely.
You ever work on a project and you're totally into it?
Yeah.
And it's on your mind all the time and you can't wait to start working on it. And I've had that happen in my life dozens of times, but not hundreds of times and not with everything. There's times when I get on a roll... Where I decide I'm going to write a bunch of new songs and I start writing them, start recording them,
and
I'm enthusiastic to get back to it and get working on it. It's very difficult to start and it's difficult to end, but I feel that was time well spent on the planet.
It's a cycle that gets interrupted because the downflow, the downside of that, the upswing is not there. Like once you finish it, you don't swing right into the next thing.
Yeah,
a lot of time you never even finish it.
Yeah,
because the reward is not there.
Most of the time,
and finishing a project, and especially if it's something you can't control in real time. And you have to, like, I'm starting to show my short to a few people, and it's just miserable. So it doesn't really get me to, like, be excited about finishing the next one, because showing anyone anything that I do is fucking miserable.
Yes, it is.
It's awful, because you can't change it on the fly. You know something's coming, and it's like, that's, hopefully it works, and like, it's awful, because you lose control.
I got to say, your attitude about that, I like that, because the people I don't like in life are people that are so fucking proud of their work. That they'll stand next to you glowing and watching it and want to watch it again and again and again.
Yeah, I will never be that, ever. Yeah.
I've had comics come into my office and go, hey, did you see the clip I put on YouTube, and stand there laughing at their own clip.
You have no idea how many comics come into Loveline, and they tell me, like, while I'm trying to do the show. Pablo Francisco is on the show tonight. He was not one of those guys. I could see him being one of those guys quite easily, but a lot of comics come in, and they're like, here's what my new bit is, and then just fucking do it for me. And it's like, I should be excited because they're like a big comic.
Pablo's not that guy at all.
Pablo's not that guy. But it's like, dude, can't you just go for 10 minutes without somebody paying attention to you or laughing at something?
I had a long conversation with somebody about this recently.
Eddie If was on last night. He is not one of those guys. I'm not calling out recent comics that were on.
But I have a friend, and she has, like, male fans, and they send her, like, trying to hit on her online.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy sends his fucking resume to her, like his acting reel, his this, here's this. And I'm like, that's not how it works. It's have some humility. Have a little bit of...
But that guy's going to get somewhere.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think people are more impressed with
you.
All
it takes is one dumb person in charge.
If you're super talented and you've done a bunch of great work, I think it's a win-win if people discover that.
Yeah.
If you jam it down somebody's throat, it's like, fuck you. Like, if you have this great backlog of work and somebody kind of is interested in you and they discover that without you telling them about it, your humility...
It's cool, but it's such... that's how I live my life, though.
You end up being the painter that gets discovered 200 years later.
Yeah.
And then you're painting yourself $1 million.
I used to go after girls that way, like in high school. And like I'd just be like, hopefully she notices this really cool thing I did.
No, of course.
But they never do.
So have I.
They rarely do.
No, I've done both. I've been on both sides of it. But I think it's much better to let people...
Both.
Jamming your shit down people's throats
it's disgusting.
Is a lose-lose.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's harsh.
I feel weird just promoting my stuff.
Yeah.
But at least yours is of a positive nature.
People are like, you need to promote more, you need to charge more, blah, blah, blah.
We all need to promote more.
No.
You don't charge zero like we do?
I used to for a long time.
What do you mean charge zero? We just sold out the Improv, $20 a pop.
Good point. Yeah. I'm going to use that as a
But you have to get in your head that like you're what you do and what you charge for actually helps other people. So like you need to get it out there for the betterment of people. Like you're going to help people. Like Mike and I don't really, and Tyler don't really have anything to offer that actually helps people.
Hey, we got that kid through high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Well, this show I listen to when I do my yard work. Or when I can't sleep at night.
When she beats the earth, she listens to our show.
When you can't sleep at night, just put you right out, huh?
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
just put you right
out. Good to know.
Don't need
Anderson drinks right himself down. To sleep.
Don't need the meds.
Johnny just throws on the after disaster.
I just don't sleep. What do you do, Tyler?
I sleep okay.
How you doing in there, buddy? You look very hot. The air conditioning is still broken.
No, it's the fan's nice.
Doesn't
it's
sound right. Nice. Could tell you that. How about you keep that mic off?
I know. I was just gonna kind of getting sad because I'm kind of the same way, Mike. I wish I had that one thing that I was like really, you know, fervent about. I have like things I'm like decent at, but I don't have anything that I'm like, this is my life's mission. Yeah. I'm gonna do this. This show is like the most consistent thing I do
by far for me as well. It's very sad. This show and even though there's been episodes of my podcast I was just disgusted by and thought they were terrible. I've been consistent with putting it up every single week. Uh-huh.
Speaking of Mike's podcast, you guys want to play a game?
Yeah, but I just want to finish one last thing. I also realized this while
just
ago.
Shit on my segue. God
I'm very
you.
Excited. I don't know how it's going to work into this. But I got to get here because we're right there anyways. I also realized, and I think that we can all probably understand this. I think I'm just smart enough to know how not smart enough I am. You know what I mean? I think if I was 10
You
points,
know your limitations?
10 points smarter, I'd be much like you know able to... I'd elevate. It would put me in a where I could do more things. If I was 10 points lesser, I wouldn't realize how close I am or how far I am, and it wouldn't bother me. I wouldn't even
this is going to sound, especially coming from me, really, really hypocritical and idiotic, but we're much smarter than most people that I come across in life.
It's gotten bad, and I don't want to say smart, but just like good conversation. And I heard this in like, I think it might have been Bill Burr talking about, somebody was talking about like, no, it was a guest in here a while ago, and they said one of the best things about being a comedian, not that I am a comedian or my friends are comedians, but it kind of holds the same water, is that conversation gets much, much better. Like if you're hanging around like funny people,
that's
entertaining
true.
People, yeah. Like you get better conversations. And I'm realizing it more and more, like hanging out with you guys and Logan on the Film Vault. Mm-hmm. I'm at camp and I'm like, I'm walking across. Like, this happened more than once before the kids get there. Once the kids get there, it's like crazy chaotic. There's tons of shit going on. You can kind of like weave in and out of conversations. There's always somebody who needs to get talking to. You know, it's chaos. It's great. But before that, it's just like 60 counselors, staff, all getting trained. And it's
terrible.
Well, you got 60 counselors there? How many kids?
Eight.
Like 145. At 145. So I get caught in conversations. And like it'll be from like walking from like let's say the teepees where the teepees are, mm-hmm. to the where the dining hall is, which is like 300 yards, and you never like know who you're gonna get sidled up next to when you're walking. You're just walking. It's like a free for all. We're all walking as a big group, and like somebody will sidle up next to me, and they'll start talking, and I'm like, oh god, this conversation's awful. And I'm looking at the dining hall. It's like 300 yards away, and I'm like doing the math in my head. Like that's at least another like 4.5
Do you ever
minutes.
Just go, I want to run?
Then I'm gonna have to hear this.
I'm a runner back in California, or I know it's in California, but I'm a runner at home, so I'm gonna run there.
And you make like little comments, yeah. And they don't. It's like it just bounces right off of them.
Well, have you ever taken a job you were disgusted by that you didn't want to take and you had to take it because you were broke?
Yeah, I think we all.
And
have.
You get stuck with those people, and you're like, holy fuck.
Well, they don't talk because they're. I'm usually in their mouth. Those jobs?
What
job are you talking about?
I've taken jobs like they're
making a blowjob joke, Anderson.
I just did. Tanya laughed, yeah, so I feel vindicated.
I have a dirty mind.
I didn't get it.
You've taken jobs like what?
Here's what I thought. What I saw one morning. I was at a donut shop, and there was a kid there with the dude, and they were clearly going to do construction work, and it was clearly his first day on the job.
I did construction once.
And they just sat there in silence. It was a kid probably 17 years old and a dude like 50, and the dude was clearly an idiot. And they were going to get in his construction truck, and they were going to go do construction or painting or something.
How insulting is this show? And this is right up there with like how do ugly people bang? It's right up there with that.
And I thought and I felt the sense of dread in my stomach that kid must have felt, which is has my life come to this? I'm going to hop in the truck with this fucking dude that I don't want to spend my time with, and I'm going to go do I'm going to go paint a house with this guy, and I'm going to listen to his bullshit conversation all day. And I felt that dread for him. I don't know how to get out of this hole. I'm not saying all painters are idiots. I'm just saying.
I know what you're talking about. I had to do work with my dad, which was similar, where he'd make me like work on, like take me to a house like he was renting out or something, and I would have to paint, and I would just have to listen to his shit all day. But that was my dad, so it made sense. But yeah, I know what you're saying. That's that, you know, that leads to complacency. Like he just looks forward to getting off so he can smoke weed or bang.
Okay, this is
going to
suck. When I was broke in the year 2000, I needed a job, and I called a friend of mine who promotes concerts.
Is this show really
bad?
He would give me
crew jobs, basically roadie jobs, like whenever I wanted them. And I got to work some. I got to work some cool shows, you know, and do a bunch of really
Striper.
Great shows. But I'm sitting there. I felt like it was beneath me, even though it really wasn't, because I was the guy. That
was this when
you were
construction?
No,
I mean,
no job.
Security guy.
No,
because you're a security guy too for a while.
No.
You got written up for watching his shows at 5 a.m.
I remember going to work like at the Beastie Boys and stuff.
What'd you do there?
I just helped build the stage and stuff. And
I would love that.
You think you would love it until you're around 30 guys that are used to working together all the time, and they have the same shit life, and you're not part of the group, and you're trying to be accepted by them, and you eventually are, and then you realize, I'm accepted by fucking idiots. It's like when I worked at a grocery store. No. When I worked at a grocery store, I was the lowest guy on the totem pole. I was the cardboard cleanup guy. It was 12, 13 hours a day. Wait, that's not true.
I thought
like
for sure
hours.
You were security for a minute.
No.
We wore the yellow vest or something.
No, never.
Maybe Bill was.
But, I remember working at a grocery store, and I kept thinking, I can hardly wait to get promoted up to cashier so I can go buy a Toyota truck.
Uh-huh.
And that would have been the curse of my life because...
Oh, my God. You know how creepy Carano becomes when he's...
Guys?
Imagine Carano as a checker. Like a...
You can just have this. You can have it. It's free.
No, because he wouldn't be that guy. He'd
be
different.
Kind of leeway?
No, he'd be different. He'd be a different guy. But he would be... Like, if he got trapped in that world, in that life... Because, like, Mike was lucky to... fall where
absolutely.
He did.
Absolutely.
Because you'd be trapped in whatever you
absolutely.
Fell into.
Absolutely lucky.
And if you were the creepy, like, I know who you are. That guy working at, like, Vaughn's.
You're not making
like,
me feel good.
The
so
cashier.
Let's just back off the topic.
Oh, no.
Let's play the game. It's 1:35.
Wait, but thank God, because you turned out great. You'd be the creepy guy with the vest at the...
I'm very thankful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very thankful
making
that
all
I,
the
that
odd,
my life has turned out
people
differently.
People, like, all the housewives would love you. But you'd
why?
Be the guy. Because you'd be like the funny, nice guy down at the local supermarket that always has something witty and nice to say to him. But still, you're
what I was
the
trying to say is, if I got stuck in that job that I didn't want to be at, I would be around a bunch of people that I don't relate to, and I would eventually have to assimilate to them.
You'd be the king of them.
And I tried. I tried. By the way, I went to you know, we would work all night, and then we'd go get beers and go to the park and drink our beers in the morning and be fucking blackout drunk driving home at like 8:15 in the morning. Because that was nighttime for us.
As one does.
It was fun. Drinking in the morning's fucking great.
It's pretty cool because cops aren't really suspected.
They have no idea.
None.
Fucking cops.
They suspect once you drive through a house.
And they smell Budweiser when they pull you over.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let's play the game because this is one of those nights where I keep... I'm sorry. Tanya, excited to play the game?
Sure.
Tyler's not.
So let's all pretend that this came after my great segue.
I'm sorry. Okay, let's go back to that.
What was your segue?
Speaking of my Carano's
podcast.
Let's play a game.
Let's play a game called sent in from listener Curtis.
Oh, I bet that I know what this is.
It's called Out of Carontext.
Okay.
So basically, these are some...
I'm glad this second half of this podcast is us talking about intelligence, and now we're going to move on to this.
These are clips of Mike... something he said on his miscellaneous adventures from the world of Mike Carano.
Oh, God.
And then we have to discuss, we have to guess what he was talking about. And it's multiple choice.
Oh, cool. I like it. Okay. I'm in. Wait, who's going to be better at this?
Mike probably won't even know.
Mike will probably be, could very well come in last place here. And he's the one who said it. Okay.
And I have only listened to like a couple of yours, so I might, the most pristine, unknowing ears might be the best.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer key that I have is blacked out, so I do not know the answers. I will be able to reveal them as I highlight them.
At the risk of a giant speed bump and crushing everything in the room, have you ever listened to Mike's podcast?
I believe I've heard them all.
Okay, Mike's podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Wow. Thanks.
Damn it, I had the crickets queued up and everything.
Do you listen while beating the earth, or do you spend...
Sometimes.
Okay.
I have bad anxiety and... Mike's podcast makes me feel better about my anxiety.
Okay, yeah.
Thank
see,
God that's
sure.
going to help me transition into my motivational speaking career.
Do you have anxiety? Not nearly as bad as mine. I got to leave.
You think you've got it bad, folks.
You guys have it bad. I don't even want to be up here. I don't like people looking at me on a stage.
You're going to like that movie, Frank. I'm telling you.
You're at 7-Eleven.
Frank is going to be it. You're going to like it. Okay.
All right. Our first question. About whom did Mike say the following? two more fucking cocksuckers in this town that deserve to get hit in the knee with an aluminum baseball bat. Your choices are A, post office employees, B, criminals Mike heard about on the news, C, people driving slowly in traffic, or D, Anderson and Tyler.
I'm going criminals.
I'm going C.
D, driving.
I'm thinking an A.
What?
Yeah. Maybe postman. He was waiting.
What did the postman do?
Maybe he was waiting in line for like two guys at the thing. I'm going to pull
it about
the
neighborhood? Oh, that's your answer. I see. I thought Tyler was giving us the answer. I'm going C. I can't remember what C was, but I'm going.
I don't think I would say that about people.
Anderson, what was your guess?
C. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. C. Yes, what people driving slowly in traffic.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
God, I'm an asshole. Jesus.
Under what circumstance did Mike say, this is misery, sheer misery? Your choices are standing in line at Disneyland, standing in line at Rite Aid, standing in line at the post office, or standing in line at Nordstrom Rack.
Could be any. Kind of a tough one there. What's the name of this list?
I feel like, Curtis, I feel like Disneyland's too obvious.
Yeah.
I got to go Nordstrom Rack on that one.
I'm going Rite Aid, even though Mike seems to be a little confident in his own answer.
Disneyland.
I'm going to stick with the USPS. Oh, look at this. We're all
dude, we're all completely different. That's weird. One of us would be going home a winner.
Nordstrom Rack, Mike. Oh, a point for Mike on his own thing.
Do you remember saying that?
I just ran through my head what I think is the worst in Nordstrom Rack.
Which Nordstrom Rack do you go to?
Brea.
Oh, too far.
It's like 50 women standing in line.
It really is a long line.
And then they
line,
get to the front, and the woman wants to comment on all their clothes. Like, oh, this is nice.
They get
I'm
the
like,
flag
ah,
up, though.
Fucking
they
just pay
the flag
for
up.
It.
They get the flag up. What did you do before smartphones? Before the iPhone was in your hot little hand? Where just a world of knowledge and places to go and visit and learn and games to play. What did you do in line before that?
Oh, I don't look at my phone in line. I'm talking.
You're too busy
it.
Shooting other people
yeah,
with it, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't do that.
Why don't you try and like escape into your phone?
Video game or something?
Or just like say maybe baseball game. Check it out.
A read about baseball game. Read
Mike's about a big baseball fan. Only in line at Nordstrom Rack.
Should become a hockey fan. Read about what's going on with the Penguins. It's always fun.
Next question.
How much is going on with them?
Not much right now. It's real miserable right now.
Oh, hey, guys, in line. They're growing their beards out.
They had the Ice Girl tryouts. I saw that.
The Penguins did?
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Tang cut his hair. It was trending on Twitter yesterday.
What a travesty.
Trending
wait,
on Twitter.
How do you know?
Ice Girls, are they like cheerleaders
the
for hockey?
Right on the Penguins. Yeah. Yeah, we don't like to talk
wait,
about it.
How do they come out on the ice and do their thing?
They come out with shovels, and they get the ice with shovels. It's a true story.
Scoop, and the octopuses when that happens.
Yeah, it's awful. And Pittsburgh doesn't have it right because they go out and they cheer in the aisles and you can't see what's going on and it's embarrassing. They don't. We have
do they ever
a cheerleader.
Have a, do they ever have
Sidney
a have
Crosby?
A live
I also find it pretty offensive that they call them the Pittsburgh Ice Princesses,
that's
which
they call
is
them.
Weird.
Don't believe
do
that.
They ever throw like live penguins out there?
No, but they for a while there was this big rivalry going on with Florida and the Penguins and one of the guys on the Florida Panthers. During the playoffs,
fed a penguin to his pet panther.
Killed a rat in the locker room because the old Penguins arena, the Civic Arena, was very old. So he killed, saw a rat in the locker room, and the opposing team, the Florida Panther guy, I think it was Fitzgerald, I can't remember. He hit the rat and killed it, and told the story, and then he scored a goal the next day. So it was like the lucky rat killer, and all the idiot Florida Panther fans were throwing like fake rats on the ice, and then a few idiot Florida fucking fans. We're throwing real live rats on the Penguins bench.
It would be
during
cute
the playoffs
to watch them slipping around on the ice, though.
I never saw. I saw them running along the dashboards in the like on the bench, but like they would literally throw hundreds of rats,
hundreds,
maybe thousands of like fake rubber rats on the ice.
That's
after
funny
the game, and then the Penguin fans were trying to because I was there. It
did
was
it
1995. 95? Yeah, it was 1995. I was there with my dad. We went to one of the playoff games and. All the Penguin fans were throwing like little rat catchers when we beat them. And I'm like, come on, guys. Let's no stupid little responses. Rat traps.
How much does that delay the game?
No, it's after the game's over. Yeah.
There's nothing just like chucking thousands of items onto the field of
pretty
sport.
Pretty great. I feel like you haven't really seen a sporting event until somebody scored a hat trick and you throw your hat on the ice. Oh, it feels good.
Yeah, it feels really good to the stadium and then sells all those hats again.
Wallet,
they
camera, keys,
the third
rat
world countries.
No, not those. Everyone's got to go back to the store and buy a new Penguins hat.
Yeah, that's true. But they get the ones you throw on the ice, they donate to third world countries. No.
That's precious.
There's a box of rats.
No, not the rats.
A bunch of Indians wearing Penguin hats. I like it. Okay, let's go.
About what location did Mike state, this place is mesmerizing? Disneyland, Rite Aid, highway traffic, or his own bedroom?
I have no idea.
I think there's only one obvious answer, right?
I'm saying Rite Aid.
I'm saying Rite Aid, yeah.
I got to go Rite Aid, too.
What are you saying?
Bedroom.
I bet you like you came across like Dr. Scholl's foot thing or something.
Oh, yeah, the thing where it measures and tells you exactly yeah. what you should have.
You ever get on one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Was it mesmerizing?
Might have been.
Rite
Aid. Yeah. Any context? No, that's the name of the game. Out of context.
Out of context.
What was mesmerizing at Rite Aid, Mike?
I don't know. I don't remember. I was there today.
Was it mesmerizing today?
I think I've recorded I think I've done like 45 podcasts now, and I think I've done 41 or 42 of them in Rite Aid at a point.
How many times you got to go to Rite Aid?
Are they a sponsor?
They don't even have perishables at Rite Aid.
You know what?
Why don't you just stock up?
That's a goddamn good idea.
Costco, Hi, my name's Mike Carano. I take a lot of shit in your stores. Would you like to buy some?
I find your store mesmerizing.
Who did Mike tell to get back to stocking cat litter, you fuck?
No one, but he said that he wished he said
a store employee who asked Mike if he could help him find something. An unintelligible employee over a store PA system. A cashier who was checking people out too slowly. Or a hypothetical pet shop employee who might help Mike buy a dog.
D. D.
I'm going to go...
Mike is like really stressed.
Employee.
He's going to be thinking about this game all the way home.
I'm going to go B.
I'm going to go pet store.
So two pet stores. I'm going to do the cashier checking people out too slow.
I'm going to hypothetical because he never said that to anyone because Mike's not a confrontational guy. Unless he's in the car. Right?
I was going PA system person, whatever that was.
Confrontational?
Mike Carano.
What?
Correct. Unintelligible employee over the PA system.
Oh, so it wasn't face-to-face. He heard them. I thought that the guy was suggesting that Mike went on the PA system. And
No.
That'd be a power move right there.
Mike pulls out to a commanding lead.
I've had a couple of confrontations.
Three.
Have you?
While I had the phone in my hand.
Recently?
Yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
What was this?
Pardon me. Pardon you, I mean, because you're on the way. And the woman it was in Costco, and I just kept on walking. It wasn't fun. It wasn't like, I didn't go back to like look at her. I just...
Right. Was it her fault for sure? Or was it kind of mutual?
Oh, yeah. No. It's not my fault.
See, I think you're
very
okay.
Efficient. Very efficient. I'm an efficient gentleman.
But Jillian freaks me out because she says you're turning into a cranky old man. Like when I took the...
there's no doubt.
The menus out of the host's hand and I sat ourselves. She's like, you're becoming one of those creepy old like World War II vets just hates everything.
No doubt.
But I'm not old, so I can get away with it still, right? I'm just punk.
What? No, you can get away with it when you're old.
Yeah.
You got it backwards.
The best thing I've done recently that wasn't really a confrontation, but everybody, I'm the hero of the office at the Improv for this, and it comes up almost every day when I'm there.
Uh-huh.
The deli next
Sold
door,
it out
the deli next door is good, but they're very, very, very slow.
Uh-huh.
Even when there's nobody in there, they're still slow, and they have this presentation that they do. So if you order a sandwich that's already made, they have pre-made pretzel sandwiches in the cabinet, and if I don't want to wait for something to be made, mm-hmm. I go, I'll take one of those sandwiches. And it goes through a 5-minute process. I'm standing right there, and there's the sandwich I want.
Right.
And they give it to another guy. He brings it over. He heats it up. He puts it in a box with jalapeno or with some pepperoncinis and some other stuff. And then they bring it to another area and hand it to you. And I finally went, yeah, I want that sandwich. And I go, but just hand it to me. I don't want it in a box. And the guy goes, ha ha. And then he did something else. And I went, no, I'm serious. Hand it to me right now.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, ah, Mike. And I went, no. And then the woman went, what? What do you want? I go, I want that sandwich, but I just want you to put it in my hand. I don't want it in a box.
Right.
And then she couldn't. She was like, I don't know how to. She took it out on a napkin and gave it to the guy to put in the box. And I go, no box.
No box.
Put it in my hand.
Right.
Like in my hand right now.
Place
and they
it.
Did it. And they were very freaked out by it. And now everyone goes over there and goes, I want a box of that. I want that salad in my hand.
Uh-huh.
And they just hand all of the improv
They get a
people.
Hand of salad?
No, it's in a container. But
that sounds like a box.
They don't get to put it in the box with the salad around the edge.
It
and
does
put the
sound like
stuff.
He's going to rob you. And
no, but
you
it's
like
it's the goddamn best. I don't have to wait now for my sandwich. It's already made.
This makes you a hero? Do you realize you said that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're a hero?
I'm the crazy man that yells about, give me the sandwich. I'm a hero.
In my hand.
Like, I just picture them hiring somebody new. I'm like, oh, you haven't met Mike Carano yet? Oh, he's a hero. He demands sandwiches.
I am a hero.
Wait till you meet him. Ask him about the sandwich.
You don't know. You don't know about this place.
What's the nationality of that deli there?
Yeah, it's not American. That's what you're asking. case you're wondering.
All right, let's play another one. Then we got to go. We got to go.
Then I got to choose. There's five more.
Well, we can play more like next time. You want to do all five?
That's fine. We can, next we can time do we, half
we
now.
We hit a speed
half
bump?
Next time.
Unless you guys want to. I don't know. I'm looking at the clock and looking. Oh, shit. Okay.
About whom did Mike remark, he's a failure, by the way? A guy juggling lemons? A FedEx clerk? A Disneyland security guard? Or Garrison Keillor?
Who's Garrison Keillor?
I would never
It's the old man that makes Mike cry, so definitely it's not
Made me cry
Garrison
once.
Keillor.
Doesn't make me cry.
Oh, he'd make you cry again.
I wasn't crying. I got choked up. That's a big difference.
Well,
my instincts, I was like waiting for President Lincoln or something. I was thinking like he was saying it sarcastically about somebody who clearly wasn't, so I'm going with D.
I'm going FedEx clerk.
You're going with the old man who we just said we would never call a failure?
Yeah. What was the actual
This is the
quote?
Part where you're not smart.
What was the quote?
He's a failure, by the way.
Yeah, because I could see Corona after working somebody up, taking it all back just to be a dick.
I don't do that.
You absolutely do that all the time. So I'm going Garrison Keillor.
It's not Garrison Keillor. I know that.
A.
Yeah, I'm going A too. Lemon juggling.
Lemon juggling. I can see how it could be A too because he's doing something impressive that Mike can't do.
Disneyland security guard.
No one
got that one.
You know, this makes me sound like an asshole when you got to hear the whole thing, whatever I said before.
Oh,
I'm
sure there's a lot leading up to it that justifies there is. You saying he's a loser.
There is.
Yeah.
He's a failure, not a loser. Big difference.
Same thing.
All right. We'll end on this one. Mike decided that. Oh, sorry.
I don't like the way you said that. Okay, we'll end on this one. It was very Disney, young Disney, like show guy.
What?
I don't know. It sounded like a host of a show.
All right, everyone. This is the last question. This one's worth all the bizzle butts. Mike decided, well, that didn't require profanity one bit. After saying what? A, I would get that sandwich every fucking day, even if I had to pay for it. B, with fucking Ajax cleanser, 409 foaming soap, goddamn dishwashing liquid, I cannot get the stuff off my hands. C, I should buy some goddamn groceries. Or D, that's why California is better than Arizona. Fact. That's a fucking fact. Which was followed by, that didn't require profanity one bit.
They're all good.
I you know what, I got to go with, I think I said all those things.
Oh, I'm sure they're all verbatims.
What was B?
With fucking Ajax cleanser, I cannot get this stuff off my hands.
I know what it is. It's the sandwich one.
He knows. He seems to know. I don't know if the sandwich one was in there. Oh, yeah. The first one?
Yeah, I would get that sandwich every fucking day, even if I had to pay for it.
All right, I'd be an idiot not to go with Mike's instincts.
Well, let's all go with A.
Yeah. Does this remind you of childhood when I do this?
You know,
screen?
I think that's not good for the screen.
No, I know it's not good for the screen, but
it's cool though. I want to do
cool,
it.
Cool, right?
Hope you don't get like some kind of weird radiation.
We're all wrong.
He was so confident though. I know which one it is. It's the sandwich one. Was that because we were just talking about sandwiches and your mind's still on the sandwich?
I don't know. I'm still thinking about that chicken sandwich.
Is that what's going on?
That sandwich.
I had her put it straight in my hand.
No, different sandwich.
I know.
Different
sandwich mind frame.
It was, I should buy some goddamn groceries. Which is rather tame for you to have remarked afterwards.
I'm trying to use less profanity. I'm really trying to think before I speak.
That'll slow you down. Don't do that.
Yeah.
That makes you boring.
It will slow me way down.
Yeah, one of the most, probably the most clever tips, probably one of the most thoughtful tips I ever heard, but I do not employ it at all. Is anytime anyone asks you a question, always take a 2 or 3 second beat to make it seem like you're actually thinking about it, and it makes you seem smarter.
Yeah, especially when the cop goes, "You know why I pulled you over?"
You know what? You never tell a cop.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
How many drinks you had tonight?
All right. Well, not every fucking time.
You just said every question.
When someone asks you a question, though, it makes you seem smarter.
Do you love
me? You're actually stopping.
Would you like fries with that?
I'm so dumb, though. If I take 2-3 seconds, I'll forget what the question was.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think you just ended up sounding like a stoner.
I think the pause.
Let's try it. Ask me like a serious question.
Anderson.
Yeah.
What is the worst thing you've ever done to another human being?
Well, that would require.
Yeah. Tyler, you love your wife, right?
What's going on with your wife's age there? What's going on with her going?
Oh, my God. Yes.
What's
happening? How come we haven't
here?
Talked about that?
Let's turn this music down a little bit. Let's talk about your wife defiling her body.
Yeah. She got a little tattoo, actually.
A little? Massive?
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
I'm sure she'll love that review.
It was unexpected.
She's been talking about it for a while, but obviously not to
Let
the
you tell
large
what the
of
tattoo
people.
Is there.
It is a quote from her favorite song.
I just saw something move in the room.
Lindsay?
Oh, she's still here?
Lindsay's getting tips.
I just saw something move, and I thought it was like a giant bug or something.
It was a cockroach.
No, it's cricket. We're cool. It's okay. It's cricket.
Okay.
All right, explain this tattoo.
It is a lyric from her favorite song by Jewel.
Oh, what?
I thought it was something you said to her.
I thought it was something you wrote to her, and I thought it was your writing.
It is my writing.
What?
God,
yeah.
This is getting so
Wait
weird
Wait a minute.
Now.
So you're plagiarizing Jewel, and she finds that appropriate to put on her body?
What? No.
Yes, you wrote Jewel's lyrics. It's plagiarism.
It was a song that she, that when we first started dating, she enjoyed it very much and thought it spoke to our relationship. And she still thinks that.
I can see that.
So
see that.
She asked.
I thought it was something you wrote.
Why don't you go to a tattoo shop and have them put, you know how they do the stencil with the machine now that looks just like tattoo ink to make sure you want it? Like they will tattoo you with the machine.
Too late for that, Mike. It's too late.
And get a gigantic wang dang sweet poon tang on your belly and see how she likes that.
That's a good idea. And then it's surrounded by some sort of
a bunch of little
Nugents looking.
Foliage.
Yeah, foliage. Yeah. Yeah.
Foliage?
Foliage. Yeah.
Shrubbery?
That is... is she going to get more?
She's probably going to go, like, around it.
Hey, she can pull off anything, and I love Lorenzo, and she's...
I mean, like, her thing is, like, she has three other tattoos. They're all hidden. This is her first one that is, like, visible all the time.
Right.
And, you know, she was like, I don't know, like, should I do it, whatever. And... You know, she also has some stigma in her family about it too.
Oh, really?
They're not big on it. No.
Enjoy wearing long sleeve shirts with them for the rest of your life.
But I was like, you're 28. You're your own person. You have your own career. You are an artist for a living. You do makeup and hair for a living. Like, if this is how you want to express yourself, it's great.
Are you gonna get one?
Your body is a temporary thing. Yeah, I don't think you have to.
It's supposed to be your body's a temple, Tyler.
Yeah, that's fine. We can't.
Have you considered getting?
Have
one?
Have you seen a temple that's just completely blank? No.
If you get any tattoo, what would it be, Tyler?
I don't know. I would consider getting one. I just know that if I'm the kind of person that I will see something and be like, okay, I finally know what I want, and I will get it. Okay. I'm not going to just like, I'm going to go get like some thing.
Translation, he'll never get a tattoo. How about you, Tanya?
Lots of tattoos.
You have lots?
Where? Yeah.
On my arms and my leg.
Don't see any there. They must be high on the arms because I don't see any.
Oh, yeah, I hide them.
Look at that.
Oh,
you got
my God.
That's the most painful part to get
it
a tattoo on your body.
My brother did it.
She's showing the inside of her
arm.
Wow.
I almost cried.
I passed out when they did mine. Not because I was like, oh, but that he nicked an artery and I bled out inside. Yeah, my bicep got huge and black and blue because there was blood. I almost died. But, that's hardcore. I'm going to go ahead and assume your brother's a tattoo artist and not just a really good first time.
No.
He's not?
No.
Were you guys in prison together for a while?
He taught himself and...
What?
I
and he has the gun and everything?
After a while,
he's a folk tattoo artist?
Does it out of his house just for friends.
Wow.
Family.
Out of his house?
Yeah.
Here's how dumb I am. I'm trying to think of where she lives. I realize she lives in Wisconsin. I get disappointed. Because I want to go over and get a garage tattoo.
She didn't say
you
garage.
You should get a garage tattoo of a garage.
He does in the garage, right?
No. In the
How
house.
Did I know he does in the garage when he doesn't? Where did that come from?
Does it in the house.
Fuck. Does he use like a gun or does he use...
It was a regular gun.
Okay. He used a piece of glass.
You know how you can tell a real tattoo artist from a fake one like me? Is they always say machine. They get very upset if you say tattoo gun. It's a machine. Tattoo machine. Everyone has their own little like inside scoop.
I don't like that they're so nitpicky about what you call the machine.
Because it's a way of like weeding out knowing like who knows what they're talking about. You know what I mean?
Like at the conventions and stuff?
Yeah. It's like a secret handshake. That's what everyone knows.
Who do you think the greatest tattoo artists of all time are? Those Japanese guys?
What about those Polynesian people that they tap the it in?
Yeah.
I'm talking about artistically, like the Japanese guys, they do those insanely intricate shaded.
I don't know. Somebody who is OCD is probably the best ever. You know what I mean? I want
to
get it. Okay.
I think we're entirely unqualified to have this conversation. Yeah. Especially at the end of the show after the song is over.
Mike,
and
what would you get a tattoo
2 in the morning.
If you get a tattoo of anything.
This came up once before.
Yeah. On this show?
Yeah.
Not like so.
One of the most embarrassing things I ever admitted.
Uh-huh.
I came very close.
Right.
Motherfucker, I don't want to say this.
That's a weird one.
I came very close to getting...
the kiss tattoo on your face? Ace Frehley.
The little girl logo from Les Mis on my back.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, how big?
Remember that?
Big.
We talked about
it. Like 8 inches tall.
Can you imagine how creepy and weird Mike would be if he was the cashier at Vaughn's and you saw him with a shirt off one day? Hey, that's the cashier from Vaughn's. What is that, a giant Les Mis girl?
How would I convince people I'm straight?
Oh, well, you wouldn't. You'd go
ahead. That's what I mean. It'd be weird.
Tanya, thank you very much for coming
down. Yeah, it was a treat.
Anderson, if you ever got a tattoo, you get
it. Spending an evening with us. Hey, isn't it kind of ironic that the one collegiate graduate here has tattoos? That's weird. Back in the old days, you never
got both of the collegiate graduates have tattoos.
What?
Didn't Tanya graduate college?
Oh, yeah, Tanya. You graduate college?
Yes.
Fucking better, because no one's going to listen to your motivational speeches. Can't even finish college, this one.
How come you're getting credit for graduating college?
Because I graduated from college? Why else would I get credit for that?
Have I not been paying attention the last 500 episodes?
Comes with not graduating. I cut off a penis once, too.
I know. Yeah. I know that.
He loves that. I almost told that to the kids this year.
I should have.
Mike is so into it. I'm like, maybe the kids will like it as much.
I wasn't so into it. It was a shocking revelation. It was a shocking.
You know what I thought about the other day? I was actually at camp, because I get really kind of
lonely, bored.
A little raw and a little bit like sentimental, and I reflect a little bit on like what an asshole, horrible person I am sometimes, you know, when I'm there. And I was floating in the pool there at camp, and I was thinking about the poor bastard whose dick I did cut off.
Uh-huh.
He
doesn't get any credit.
He donated his body to science, Tyler. He used that penis throughout his life, probably made a couple kids with it. Never.
Your asshole cut it off.
Did you have any idea that some just random fuck would come along one day, snip it off after he's dead?
How about
and talk about it with glee on a
and scoop his brain out.
And suck his brain out. Yeah, that was actually the other guy.
He sucked it out.
That was the other guy. Suction cupped it, kind of.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't like that. Are you going to donate your body to science?
I feel like I should. I'm a donor.
Tyler? Tanya?
I'm a donor, so I don't want to be buried, so I'll either be cremated or you can... I don't know.
I think my body's going to be so exploded apart when I actually die. That
I guess if I,
exploded
like...
Exploded apart? What do you...
Probably be a car accident or something. Big fucking lot of fire.
Suicide bomber?
I don't know.
It's going to go out stuntman style, like 70s Evel Knievel stuntman.
I was all about donating your body to the good, even a car accident donating your body. But you know what I learned is the all these penis surgeries they're having, they use cadaver tissue and whatnot. Yeah. I don't know if I want to donate my body so some guy can make his dick bigger.
No, especially it's going to be used in
what if it's helping forms. Rebuild a guy's dick who lost it in like the
we
war?
We can rebuild
the
it.
The perv
in
me is all about
faster.
It. The what? I'm like, yeah, I could die, but like, part of me is still
fucking
going,
from beyond
still,
the grave.
Part of me is still going in and out. Get some.
Is that right, is that law? Show. Is that condom law in effect yet here in Los Angeles?
Which one? Is
yeah, but you can get around it if you just wear a cadaver's dick.
Oh,
Tyler,
sweet.
What is the condom law?
You have to wear condoms now for porn.
Oh yeah, that's why they all fled.
Did they really flee?
Yeah. They're having sex right outside the boundary. It's so stupid.
Yeah, they're right in Bullhead City.
You know what I would do is I would just have a set maker put like a giant scenery of like the desert outside your window, light it,
and just,
and
say,
then just
we're doing
keep
it,
doing it in the valley.
Yeah, we're doing it in California.
Like Hoover Dam in the background.
Right. Not California proper.
Just really shitty greens.
Yeah, there. Really. Like with the
prove it!
With like karaoke backgrounds, you know, like the woman who's rollerblading with the scarf above her head.
It's sending the wrong message. All right, we got to go.
Seriously.
I'm sorry, Ty Ty. It's hard to do a show with you guys. Well, not so much you, Corona, but when this one in here is giving me the tired eyes, like, what am I doing with my life?
Well, it's
I'm
2
upset
a.m.
about the conversation earlier because now I'm forced to reconcile that I feel really stupid.
Good night, everyone.
Somber ending. I liked it.